What is up, everybody, and welcome to Warp Point Weekly, your source for nerdy news. I'm Rob, and as always, I'm joined by my gracious co-host. We got Bren.
What up?
And we got Jay.
What up?
And we are a nerdy news podcast. So, Bren, you want to go over what we're talking about this week?
Sure. This week, we will be talking about Overwatch losing some sponsors. The Overwatch League.
Good.
Yeah. We now have a new record for the most expensive Mario Brothers game. Pokemon Go team has responded to their boycott from fans. Sony reportedly wants to focus on AAA games. For the VR system, they said they weren't worried about. We have Gamescom 2021 kicking off. Amazon is delaying their New World MMO.
Good big
shocker. Speaking of Activision Blizzard, Fran Townsend deletes their Twitter profile. And Sony says that it has secured enough components to hit that 22 million mark.
Yeah.
For PS5.
So that scalpers can just hang out with them and resell them for way more than they're worth.
Right.
I'm telling you, if people would just stop buying altogether. let those scalpers sit there and stew.
Right. But before we get into that, we got to do our time-honored tradition. Bren, what have you been up to, bud?
Yeah. I have acquired a pretty nifty next gen solid state drive.
Yes. Which by the time this comes out, our review of that will be live as well.
We did a review and installation of the M.2 into the PlayStation 5. Since I don't want to say I was lucky enough to be chosen, considering there's only a handful of us out there anyways.
Yeah, right.
Everyone that has one could sign up for the beta program, and they would still be under their cap.
I have acquired two new movies. One of them is a steelbook. I now have The Quiet Place Part 2, so I have both of those now. I got to show you guys. The Quiet Place steelbooks are pretty sweet.
Yeah.
And I picked up a 4K copy of Nobody.
Oh, nice.
I don't know if you guys have heard of that one.
Uh-huh.
No. I haven't.
It's Better Call Saul.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. He did an action movie with the writer from John Wick.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Which I hope he's doing better. And I don't know why I'm blanking on his name right now.
Bob Odenkirk.
Yes, Bob Odenkirk. He recently had a heart attack on set while filming the final season of Better Call Saul. But he assures everybody he's good. Well, you know, they do this stuff in Hollywood. They play it down because if he's at risk for a lot of things, he's not going to get much work.
Yeah. Right. I mean, shit happens. Could just be another wake-up call. They said he was fine like the day after, so.
Well, here the way everybody on Twitter was making it sound, and yes, I know that just killed it right there by saying it. People were talking about it on Twitter. Well, they were making it sound like the guy was on his deathbed.
I mean, they said fucking Jackie Chan was dying until Jackie Chan came out and said, no, I'm still alive.
I'm perfectly fine.
They said Jet Li was dying, but he was actually doing a movie.
Right. He's on drugs. No, he's doing a movie.
Yeah. He's sick because he's getting older, but no, he's fine. He's in a movie.
He's sick because he's got them sick-ass karate moves. Yeah.
If you've not seen
dude. Jet Li and Jackie Chan, man. Oh.
Yes.
I don't think you can't see dedication like that anymore.
Well, I mean, Jackie Chan did so much stuff. Like, I love his cartoon. I've had my kids watch his cartoon.
Mm-hmm.
With his niece in it.
You know, I have a problem with him, though.
Okay.
What is it this time?
He's come out in full support of the Chinese Communist Party.
Oh, really? I didn't see that.
Yeah.
No. No, you didn't see that. Yeah. After he moved his parents to Australia, he came out and spoke in full support of communism. After he got his parents out of there, of course. Yeah.
Nice. Yeah, no, I didn't notice that.
It wasn't I think it was a year or two ago he did this.
Fair enough.
This was this year, apparently.
Oh, it was this year.
Yes. The Variety magazine skip ad. I don't want to wait 14 seconds.
No, look at that.
July 14th, 2021. Jackie Chan declares, I want to be a Chinese Communist Party member.
After he moved his parents out.
I'm not seeing anything about that. But yeah, it's all this gung-ho for China bullshit. Because, you know, pandemic. And you gotta support your country now, even though the Chinese government has been abusing human rights for fucking decades and shit. But whatever. Not my country.
Speaking of another commie-loving bastard, the wife and I watched Suicide Squad last night. And it's not an attack at James Gunn or Zack Snyder. It's an attack at John Cena, who specifically learned Chinese just to issue an apology to the Communist Party because all he did was recognize Taiwan as a country, which is enough apparently to get you banned in China.
Hey, are we banned in China?
No, we're banned in Cuba, but I'll get us banned in China real quick. Tiananmen Square.
No, Tiananmen Square.
I thought we were because we were making fun of. It was North Korea that we're banned in. You're right.
Yeah. Ask Activision why they changed the trailer for Cold War right before the game came out. Because they played a clip of the tanks rolling down Tiananmen Square.
Why did Disney hide a black character?
Exactly, Finn.
In the promo art for China.
Yep.
Yeah.
Chinese do not like black people, apparently.
They turned Finn into Ant-Man so fast.
You know? Right?
In America, he's this big on the poster. In China, he's like that.
Can't have any bug people.
Right? So, Jay, what have you been up to, bud?
Oh, man. So, been grinding away at Borderlands.
That's
just
always fun.
I've been hit with the bug of just playing it constantly. Plus, Aaron and Andrew both have been on it lately. Nice. So, yeah, mainly that whenever I get a chance. Working today's or this last week's just been hell.
Yeah.
But I got to get my teeth fixed before I can leave.
Yeah.
That's life. Benefits.
Yeah.
Sorry. It just popped into my head, which it tells you the mental state I'm in because it was just yesterday. I went back and was playing Control again.
Nice.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. If you guys want a psychological thriller story, something on a mind fuck level of Hideo.
Yeah.
It's Control.
Control is a really good game. But anyways, Jay, what else you been up to?
That's about it.
That's it?
Yeah, you go ahead.
So, obviously, this past week, we recorded the video for the M.2 stuff. My son had his first band march, so I did that. We've been killing it in some Dauntless, so that's been fun. Mm-hmm. You guys can check us out on Wednesday for that. But just with this crazy week that I've had, I haven't really had time to do anything, really. I played a couple hours of Trails of Cold Steel, and yeah, that's about it, honestly.
Nice.
Yeah.
So.
Oh, and I finally got mine in. I posted it on my Twitter and in the Warpoint group on Facebook.
But not on the Trails Discord.
I know. I got to go back through and update that too. Trails of Cold Steel 2 Relentless Edition, which I love in Europe. They don't put the blue banner across the top of the package.
Yeah.
So you actually get nice, clean art from top to bottom.
This is the blue bar you're talking about.
Yeah.
Yes.
And granted, it's just on the packaging because...
Well, yeah, the steel book inside the box, the art on the box is pretty cool. It's just the blue banner for the U.S. release.
Well, that's why I like this box. because it's
the actually, slip covers.
Yeah, it's actually a clear slip cover.
Yeah.
You know, so you still get the cool art on the outside.
Nice.
For those that were listening, that was the Metroid Exodus collector's edition that I was showing off. And what's cool about that too is, you know, with Bren getting his copy of the European version, gave me his copy of the regular version.
Ooh.
Yeah, unfortunately, it was just a steel book. I found it at a GameStop when I was on a business trip a couple weeks ago.
That means I get to add it to my collection.
Oh. Beautiful. Beautiful.
So, with that, we'll jump into the news. Right? And up first, we have the Overwatch League. Their sponsors are kind of like reevaluating if they want to support Activision Blizzard after their lawsuit. And good for them. This is the kind of shit that we need.
Let me tell you, fucking, I never thought I'd be in support of Tampon. But here we are.
So T-Mobile has pulled their branding from the Overwatch League as well as the Call of Duty League earlier this week.
Yep.
Coca-Cola said that they are stepping back for a moment to revisit future plans and programs.
Yeah, so they actually, the New York Subliners team was wearing duct tape over their T-Mobile logos on the jerseys.
Well, they're not allowed to have it.
Yeah, that's fucking...
State Farm also said it's reevaluating its limited marketing relationship with the Overwatch League and has said that it wants no advertisements run during the matches. And, you know, this article, which comes from The Verge, goes on to say that, you know, partnerships are an important source of revenue for Activision Blizzard's esports leagues alongside broadcasting rights and franchise fees.
Well, it's what legitimizes the whole fucking league is that they're sponsors.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
State Farm and Coca-Cola are among seven brands on the partners page of the Overwatch League's website. Other companies have not stated whether or not they are going to continue to support the Overwatch League.
I just got to say something real quick. So, obviously, this shit, it's pretty bad, right? Like, the whole allegations. But about China... Since we're taking a dig at China to get banned from them, what's China and their numerous abuses of people? Like, we're just pretty sure Coke still sponsors them.
Oh, right.
Yeah, I mean, in my honest opinion, this is all just a ploy. I don't think these companies actually care about the allegations or the problem that's actually going on right now.
They do, but only in the sense that it will make everybody happy that they do.
It's a PR move. It's a PR move.
Yeah, that's it. It's just a PR move. They don't care. These companies don't care. It's about profit for them.
Hey, come on now. They care.
After the whole Coca-Cola Be Less White campaign thing, They need the brownie points with people.
Hey, I'm still drinking Coke and I'm white as fuck. It sucks. I'm waiting for that change.
Yeah.
So even though, you know, like this is kind of virtue signaling for these companies, at the same time, if it actually is going to hurt Activision Blizzard, I'm for it.
Oh, it's going to hurt because let's see where they're.
That's my whole thing. Is it if it's going to hurt them, I'm for it. Just because, you know, it's bullshit. So,
stocks are right, I guess.
Yeah, they haven't really tanked too much. They dropped a little bit, and then they came right back up the next day.
Well, I mean, we've pointed it out for the last week and a half. If you go back into Twitch, it's still one of the highest rated in traffic.
Right.
I mean, on a Sunday morning, Warzone is still pulling roughly 60,000 to 80,000 viewers at a time on a Sunday morning.
Yeah, on a Sunday morning. Yeah.
When people are still recovering. Because once you hit your 30s, drinking sucks.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
So we're going to keep on some Activision Blizzard news.
And I knew you were going to go that route, Rob, so I already have it pulled up. Fran Townsend, wow. Blah, 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 blah.
there's that Sunday morning slow come around, right?
And I wasn't even drinking last night. Deletes their Twitter profile following inflammatory post about whistleblowing.
Yeah, so she had a post that she came out. She's the one that sent a company-wide email in the beginning of this whole thing and said it was a meritless and irresponsible lawsuit.
Oh, she's the one that said that?
She's the one that said that.
Oof. Not a good call, Chief.
Right. So she posted a tweet on July 30th that was a story from theatlantic.com that said, "The problem with whistleblowing." Yeah.
Can I just say, my statements on whistleblowing is, if you're not doing a fucking issue that needs somebody to blow the whistle on, then whistleblowing isn't your problem. It's the issue that you're facing.
Right.
If someone feels the need to let the public know about your shitty actions.
Well, and I don't know if we touched on this or not, but didn't the Activision president Blizzard president step down?
Yes. Jap stepped down.
Yeah.
Was it?
And the human relations director stepped down too, which that's pretty fucking hilarious. Yeah. That was more of a, yeah, you're definitely not doing your job, bro. You might as well resign.
Yeah, he stepped down after workplace protests. And I mean, I've talked to a couple of people about this, and some of them go, you know, him stepping down just like shows that it admits guilt to the whole thing going on.
Well, I think he was actually mentioned in the lawsuit.
Well, I think he was forced to step down, to be completely honest. I don't think this was a voluntary thing.
Yeah,
I don't think they
don't get your 401k and all the shit you put in towards, you know, your retirement. But if you resign, you still get that shit.
Right.
It's a sinking ship, and like Billy Zane, he said, "Nope, I'm getting on the boat and I'm getting the fuck out of here." Well, taking his millions of dollars he probably made.
Right. And the thing is like, you know, we were talking about, you know, what needs to be done to be able to
fix this.
Yeah, maybe start correcting these things. And one of the things that I think is like, you got to get rid of the higher ups. And what they need to do, in my opinion, is they need to, you know, hire a bunch of people to take these roles, but don't start them yet. Just get enough people that you can run the business and then just do a mass execution of places. Pull all the higher ups and just replace them. And that way you don't have a chance for these new people coming in to be corrupted, because this has been going on for decades now. And I'm sure that they can figure out how to corrupt new people in a week.
Well, let's just say that humans can change and evolve. So maybe somebody did something a while ago and isn't exactly the same person anymore. Let's give that. Some people the benefit of the doubt on that.
No. But here's the thing. I understand that people can change, but when they change, they should have brought this to light then. And at that point, you're collateral. I'm sorry. They have to do something huge to start to regain the trust of the community.
You're talking about regaining the trust of the community. People are still fucking watching and playing.
Oh, I know.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean that the company president or Jab, you know, on July 22nd, he had a note that said, "I disdain bro culture." And then like 2 days later, there was a video that came up with them, you know, laughing off and doing all kinds of sexualization of female game characters and this and that. So it's like, yeah, you got to backpedal a lot there, bud.
Yeah.
So it's just crazy. I honestly think that there aren't enough people that are
giving a shit.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's pretty much the sad fact of it.
Yeah. It's ridiculous.
But in some good lighthearted news.
Go ahead. If you're going to make this transition, roll with it, bud.
Apparently, the title for most expensive game ever sold just keeps fucking going up.
Yeah.
So now we have the original in box, in plastic, graded a 9.8 Super Mario or Nintendo or Super Mario Bros. Sold for 2 million this week.
Yes.
And what Mario game was it last month that?
Yeah, I was gonna say Mario it was 64. Just a month ago we talked about this.
Yeah, 64 sold for 1.5.
Yeah. Now the difference between these is Mario 64, and we talked heavily on this, sold at an auction house that has been known for using proxy bidders to just up the price of stuff. And even then, just 2 days prior to the Mario 64 selling for 1.5, Legend of Zelda sold for 870, which completely smashed the record before that, which was 156 for Super Mario 3. But this here comes from a collectible site called Rally. And basically what it is it's investing in a product, in an item, not a product. And then if they can resell it for more, you get so much for investing into that product. So it's a pretty cool concept for that. It's basically like investments for collectors. Stonks.
Stonks. Yeah.
As we've grown to know them.
I mean, I even thought of getting in on this now.
I mean, invested $100 last year, made $950. That's not bad.
Yeah, one investor in the Mario.
That's not bad. That is a return on investment for a year.
Almost
on that
10
kind
times.
Of money.
Yeah, your ROI is almost 10 times your investment.
If you invest $100 and make $300 back, you know that's still a pretty good win.
So they purchase the game for $140,000 in April of 2020. Would represent a higher price than the copy sold months later at auction, and then investors declined a $300,000 offer shortly after, and they just basically said it had people pay money into it, make it more expensive, and then sold it for $2 million.
So the way that this works is they purchase items, in this case with Super Mario Brothers. So they bought the game for $140,000 in April. And then investors get in and, you know, they set a price point for the investors to be at, whether it's $50, $100, somewhere in between, whatever. So basically, you know, you have 1,000 people at, you know, $50. So you, or whatever it is, $100, we'll say. So you just made $1 million off of it. So they made their money back by the people investing.
Mm.
But then whenever it turns around and it's, so then they have the items like listed there, and then people can decide to buy them.
Who the fuck just randomly decided they were going to buy a $2 million copy of fucking Super Mario Bros.?
Well, that's what they offered, was $2 million. So what they do then is that, you know, an investor goes, well, or a collector goes, well, you know what, I want to buy that. I'll give you $300,000 like they were offered. So then the investors, you have to get a majority, 3/4 of the investors vote to say, okay, that's a fair enough price.
Gotcha.
So whenever the $300,000 offer was offered, the investors go, well, you know what? That's not high enough. We don't think that we think it's worth more than that.
Yeah.
So then later on, the anonymous buyer comes through and says, hey, I'll give you guys $2 million for this thing. And 3/4 of the investors said, okay, we're good with that. And it passed and everybody made some money. Everybody's happy.
Yeah.
So I can live with this thing. I can live with this.
Hopefully we have some more games coming out for millions of dollars.
Right.
Looking at you, E.T. If I can find a copy of E.T. The game that literally crashed the market.
I was going to say, you mean the game that they found hundreds of copies of in a landfill?
In New Mexico, ain't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Yeah, that's all that story. Let's you want to take the next one, Rob?
All right.
I know you want to bitch about the bitches.
Yeah. this has been something that has pissed me off since I've seen it. I think about a week and a half ago, Pokemon Go had an update. And in this update, it changed the distance needed from a local point of interest or to interact with something from 40 meters back to its original 80 meters. So
you mean 80 meters to 40?
No, originally it was 80. When the game first came out, it was 80 meters.
Oh.
And then because it was 40, my bad.
Yeah, see?
It was originally 40. So whenever the pandemic came, they pushed it back to 80 meters so that, you know, social distancing, you didn't have to be as close to things. You could do stuff from the car, even though that's not the point of the game. And in the last one, they pushed it from 80 back to 40. And there's a ton of people that are unhappy with this. You know, a bunch of stuff on social medias of people going, hey, this is bullshit. And like the one person, Leaking Duck, whoever the hell that is, you know, they came out with a Twitter thing. It basically, it was two pages long, and it was like, oh, there's safety issues in this. You know, we don't, with it being 80, we don't need to cross dangerous roads or intersections to interact with things.
Hey, guys, it's the world.
Hold on.
You have to interact with the world.
What happens when your Starbucks is on the other side? You got to cross the street. What happens when the store you want? You got to cross the street.
Well, it's called augmented reality. If you want a game, play an actual game.
For everybody listening, let's quickly go over. We're not going to read word for word, but we'll break it down. Now, apparently it has started a hashtag as well. Hashtag hear us Niantic.
Yeah, Niantic. Yeah. Well, Niantic. That's what I was reading. I started to read.
The okay.
Thing.
Bad.
You're good. You know, they're saying the increased Pokestop interaction rate has created the following benefits. Not needing to cross dangerous roads. Not needing to trespass on private property to reach or interact with a point of interest.
You shouldn't have been doing that in the fucking first place.
You don't have to trespass to interact with anything. Whenever
hippity hoppity respect private property,
right? Whenever a Pokestop, you know, becomes a thing, they review it to see if it's in a public or private location. If it's in a private location, it doesn't get it. So the next point is provided the ability to play and interact from a sheltered shared location, example, under trees, awnings, or shelters to avoid hazardous weather conditions.
You shouldn't be outside if it's hazardous weather conditions.
Hey, so here, hold on.
The game literally tells you if you're playing Pokemon Go in the winter, it's like, it's cold as fuck, dog. Why are you playing this shit?
Well, so here's the thing. Verbatim. You have to have your phone out, right?
Yeah.
I've never played Pokemon Go. So you have to have your phone out while you're walking.
Mm-hmm.
And they're talking about being worrying about hazardous conditions. So if it's raining and you have your phone out while you're walking to said shelter, your phone's going to get ruined anyways.
It's going to be Well, here it is. It's entitlement. Because have you seen these groups of fucking Pokemon Go players that sit there and don't pay attention to a single thing outside of their game?
And the way that the game is supposed to be played is, okay, your phone, the game gets synced to your GPS location, so it knows how far you've walked. And what you do is you pull out your phone, you look, go, okay, well, there's a Pokestop at, again, I'll use this as an example, Starbucks. So then you put your phone away and you walk to Starbucks. You get to Starbucks, you open it up, and you interact with it.
Or you have it out and you just look at it periodically when you are in a safe area to do so.
And you go, okay, well, there's also this Pokemon here. And then you click on the Pokemon, and then you catch it. You don't have to walk while you're catching a Pokemon. You don't have to walk while you're interacting with something. The act of walking is just to get to the point of interest. But yeah, you got to pay attention to your surroundings. I mean, look at how many videos we've watched of people falling into fucking fountains or walking in the middle of the road because they're not paying attention.
People getting robbed because they're walking into bad neighborhoods just trying to get a ditto.
And that's the next thing that they say, you know, this has allowed us to play from safe locations, not enter areas that would be detrimental to personal safety. This includes preventing a risk to safety via interpersonal crimes, theft, environmental hazards, and dangerous locations. Okay, hold on. This extra 100 feet is allowing you to not go into a interpersonal crime or theft area or a dangerous location. So you're telling me this extra 100 feet is protecting you from getting robbed? Bullshit.
I like how they say interpersonal crimes like that really matter. They could have said just robbery, or they did. Well, they said theft.
I mean, apparently in their world, they only get robbed when they're playing Pokemon Go. No one ever gets robbed just walking down the street.
They try to take those Ultra Balls, bro. They work for them.
The last thing that they say, and it's also the smallest point on this whole thing, is personal safety for social distancing. which was what this thing was originally created for. So I'm okay with that. I get that. Cool. As we've seen stuff start to wind down, they implemented coming back to this. Now, the next thing that they say is something that I'm kind of on the fence with, but at the same time, pisses me off.
Mm-hmm.
So they say the accessibility side of this. You know, many disabled trainers could now interact with locations that previously excluded them from the Pokemon Go community. Again, 100 feet. This is 100 feet we're talking about. 40 meters is 146 feet, and 80 meters is like 262 or some shit like that. You know, we're in America. We use Americans.
We use freedom units around here.
But this includes interacting with gyms and Pokestops that would otherwise be inaccessible due to stairs, steep inclines, or other physical barriers.
What, are people fucking claptraps? Oh, no, stairs!
Well, here's the thing. Okay, you're in a wheelchair. I get it, stairs. The distance isn't a vertical distance.
Well, hold on. Let me just say this.
They don't measure vertical distance. They measure length.
You have to go on stairs to enter certain places. I will make that condolence, though. But where is the character model for a trainer in a wheelchair?
Hold on.
Like, no. You're making up a good point.
Oh, I agree.
They're bigoted now. They need to have that accessible. I want to see a fat Pokemon trainer. That's what I want to see.
Well, hold on.
Like, so obese.
So you're saying, you know, you got to go upstairs to enter something. Like enter a store or something. You can be 100 feet from the store and still do it. That's what I mean. Like 100 feet is a huge distance to interact with something. And most of these places are, like I said, a storefront or a monument or something like that. And 9 times out of 10, they do have handicap accessibility for these things.
Yeah. So if you got your placard from you know, being handy fat, then you can sit and park in front of the building and play Pokemon Go.
So the next one,
I'm being mean. I don't care.
It's okay. The next one I can kind of understand because I know multiple people with this issue. You know, trainers with autism and sensory conditions could engage with the community from a more accommodating distance, and I kind of understand that one.
Yeah, that one we won't touch because autism's a spectrum and it's all sorts of weird.
Well, even just sensory conditions, I understand it. Some people, you know, they don't do well in a large crowd. I get that. Maybe this isn't the game for you. I understand you like Pokemon. Go play Unite. Go play Sword and Shield. Go get yourself a Game Boy and play the original. I get it.
And here's another thing they could do, because I can tell you, because my daughter has this game. Okay. Pokemon Let's Go.
Right.
Same thing.
They have a Pokeball controller that you can upload your Pokemon from the game onto that controller. You can interact with it out on a walk.
Right.
And just having that Pokeball with you. No, you don't get the hands-on of actually playing and stuff out there, but going out there, walking around, getting some fresh air, and then putting that Pokemon back from that Pokeball into the game, it gains levels.
Yeah.
So this next point pisses me off, too, because...
Oh, yeah.
I mean, Brent, we're both parents, so...
I'm not even a parent, but I see it.
Trainers with young children or in a position of care could more safely interact with points of interest while maintaining a safe distance for those in their care. What the fuck does that supposed to mean? You're afraid to take your kid into the Starbucks? Is that what you're saying?
No, that means...
You can leave the kid in the car instead of unbuckling him and coming out and interacting with
him. Well,
here's my thing. Why the fuck are you playing Pokemon Go when you're watching kids?
No. You know what? To me,
it reads more like
run across the street and get fucking hit by somebody because you're not paying attention.
To me, this reads more like the 6-foot rule.
Oh, for social distancing.
Yeah.
No. See,
while maintaining a safe environment. Okay. No. You're right. I read it wrong. I'm sorry. While maintaining a safe environment, how about you put the fucking phone down and pay attention to the child? Pay attention to where the kid is.
But not only that, how about this, okay? You hold your phone with one hand. You have the kid in your other hand. You're holding their hand. You're pushing the stroller. You're doing whatever. Pay the fuck attention to your surroundings.
Okay. All right. This is the scenario, okay?
Yeah.
Phone in one hand.
Yep.
Right? Leash or whatever in another. Okay?
Okay.
So there's that.
Yeah.
Oh shit! There's a Pokemon.
I don't do the leash either.
But I'm saying you're holding it.
I know. But how do you use your phone? You have to drop the kid.
No, you don't.
Yes, you do.
Okay.
No, you don't. I've multiple times, I'm walking down. If I'm playing Pokemon and I'm walking with my daughter, we'll stop. Nine times out of ten, she's playing too, and I'll be holding her hand, and then.
Yeah, but I'm talking about young kids.
With my thumb,
your kid's old enough to be like, "Hey, stand next to dad."
Still hold her hand. One hand is on her, one hand is on my phone. I can interact with my phone with one hand.
I give your kid credit. Your kid's smart enough and old enough to know that if dad says stay here, don't wander off. But I'm talking about like a 3-4 year old, sometimes 5.
Well, that's kids that age. Yes, if you're walking down public roads and stuff, you want them to walk with you, and you want them to walk on the inside of the sidewalk.
Yeah, and I know this is all subjective, but, and just where I'm at. But I've also seen fucking dumbass people that shouldn't even have kids in the first place.
I agree.
Playing Pokemon Go while their little fucking semen demon, is running around smacking other kids with sticks and shit.
Yeah,
It's plain and simple. If you're more worried about catching a goddamn Pokemon than making sure to keep an eye on where your kid is, you need to have your child taken from you. Mm-hmm. If you're more worried about holding your phone up and looking, because from what I know, you're supposed to move your phone around and stuff and look to see where it's at.
No, you just got to be in the area.
Yeah,
direction and it tells doesn't really matter. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like a bubble. Like you have
where
a
ring around you. Is the personal responsibility?
Oh, I agree 100%.
Nowhere. That's the issue with it. They don't want to take more personal responsibility. They want to live in the I got a big ass range I can do and play this game however lazy I want, even though it's designed to actually get up, move, and explore.
Guess what? That's part of being a parent, is giving up things that maybe you want to do.
Right.
That is one of the biggest sacrifices of when you become a parent, is setting what you want aside.
And then, the next page of this, they go, respect. Greater courtesy and respect to non-trainers in the community by not crowding or blocking entry to businesses, private property, playground. This ain't an issue with Niantic.
No, this is an issue with people being dicks.
This ain't an issue with that.
Once again, this is personal responsibility.
Right. Yes, exactly. I agree 100%. It's personal responsibility.
With how diverse and unique members of the Pogo community are, this is likely only a small handful of examples of the way in which the increased interaction radius helped us enjoy the game to a greater extent. Get the fuck out of here.
Say you arrive at your location. It says, okay, the Pokemon is right here. And you look around and go, I'm right in the opening of the emergency entrance for the hospital.
I should probably get out of here.
I should probably step to the side a little bit in case an ambulance comes flying through here.
Like we were saying, you're in a bubble. So there's a Pokemon that goes off. Your phone vibrates. Okay, there's a Pokemon nearby. You have to be like, I don't know, to interact with a Pokemon. It might be, it might be 40 meters.
Yeah, it's the same radius as interacting with Pokestop.
So 150 feet. 150 feet, out of 10.
They pop up, and if they pop up, they're within distance, I should say.
Right.
But yeah, pretty much.
Blocking an entrance.
This is a demand to a company to alleviate all their, I don't want to say clients, but this is demanding that a company absolve them of personal responsibility.
Well, listen, I'm just going to say, too, this letter is flat out, like, very badly executed.
Oh, yeah.
Because, so we'll skip a couple of the other things. So we're not going to read it word for word. But this thing got me. It says, one of the three pillars of Niantic's core philosophy, as communicated by founder and CEO John Hank, is exploration. Exploration desire was to explore, was never negatively impacted by the increased Pokemon stop interaction radius. The thing negatively impacting exploration is the global pandemic. So why in the first letter we're getting the benefits, the only thing that's wrong is we still have a pandemic.
Well, and so here's the thing.
That should have been what they lead in was. It's like, hey, we still are dealing with coronavirus. A lot of people still don't fucking feel safe. Please give us our list, our things back. Here's also the benefits that it would. No, they went in with a feel sorry for these people because they have issues and you can't be mean to people with issues, which I'm not saying you should, but again, not everything is meant for everybody.
Well, and here's my thing. You know, they say, oh, well, exploration was never negatively impacted because it's only 100 feet.
Like, yeah.
Is there a time limit?
They're pissed off they can't sit in the fucking parking lot and hit Pokemon stops for 3 hours.
From the other side of the fucking parking lot.
Yeah.
Like, that's my thing. Like,
is there a time limit that these Pokemon are there?
The Pokemon, yes. The Pokestops,
they randomly spawn. Yeah, the Pokestops always stay unless a company or business decides to say, hey, we don't like the attention our store is getting from all this shit.
And that's the thing like that I was going to say about that last part of the tweet was, you know, oh, we're blocking businesses. If the business didn't like it, they wouldn't allow it, number one. Number two, these businesses are getting free advertisement from this.
Dude, so
that, like, you know, we'll say the coffee shop that's a Pokestop is going, you know what?
Yeah.
My city, my city grows.
We'll give you 5% off your order or some shit.
My city actually grows like championship roses.
Right.
When you came in, you drove past the Rose Garden.
Yeah.
That place had nobody fucking going to it for years. It was just a set group of people. And then Pokemon Go comes out and they have like 6 fucking Pokestops there.
Well, and that's the thing, like, you know, businesses and communities and everything have said that Pokemon Go has positively impacted the communities.
Yeah, because you drive, you're walking past something and maybe it's like a store, like, because we have a candy store.
That was going to be my biggest thing, is this whole thing is over, you know, distances. So when you're playing Pokemon Go, 9 times out of 10, it's in a public area, like a mall or a busy street that has multiple storefronts on it. So 100 feet. Normally, there's 3 to 4 storefronts within 100 feet.
Well, I was about to say, this is outdoor exploration, right? Right?
Right.
They've already said that there has been 0 cases of outside infection of COVID.
Well, I'm not even getting to that. Not even getting to that. What I was saying was distance, okay? So, we'll say that this coffee shop is the Pokestop, and then there's a clothing store next to it and something else on the other side of it. You could still be on the corner of the street and interact with that. You don't have to be near it, you know, because those sidewalks are normally bigger to accommodate for traffic. 9 times out of 10, you can still be on the other side of the street and interact with it because it is 150 feet. How wide is a street?
Yeah.
And, you know, if people are so worried about the distancing while getting their Pokemon, make it a community thing. Quit making it a company thing. Right. You all see, if you see that you're all bunching up there, okay, let's keep our distance. All right. All right, I got my Pokemon. Let's move on. Let's let the next group of people in.
God, we are going to piss off the Pogo community, and I am excited for it, guys.
I don't care. The fact that you expect a company to accommodate you and your child because you feel it's more important that you catch your Pokemon than to keep an eye on where your child is, I have no respect for you.
Yep. So I love Nantech's response to this.
Yeah, let's go with the
response.
And
I'm not going to read their full response because it is lengthy and wordy.
Hold on. I'm going to pull my favorite passage from it. Get fucked, nerds.
Yeah, that's pretty much what it says. So they go, you know, hey, we've heard your feedback about the change of the Pokestop and gym interaction distance. And while we've reverted the interaction distance, I said inverted, like this is Top Gun.
Top.
From 80 meters back to the original 40 meters starting in the U.S. and New Zealand, because we want people to connect to real places in the real world and visit places that are worth exploring. They said, so, as part of this process, we'll be reaching out to the community leaders in the coming days to join us in this dialogue. We are assembling an internal cross-functional team to develop proposals designed to preserve our mission of inspiring people to explore the world together. Can we say this? Together.
Together.
Can I just say this real quick, though?
If this
group does not have somebody in a wheelchair, someone who's morbidly obese, and multiple people of color, ain't worth it. Ain't the community.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. If the team they're putting together doesn't check all those fucking boxes, don't even bother rolling it out because people aren't going to care.
Yeah, pretty much. This ableist is telling me that I can't sit in my car and play
stupid
Pokemon Go and eat my
like
McDonald's.
This gets me fired up.
Well, yeah, and that, like I said, the biggest thing about this game is supposed to be interaction with your environment and the people around you. Do you know how many communities, like Facebook communities and things I've seen come to light because of this game? How many friendships have happened because of this game? And that's what I'm saying. Like, this game is not meant to be played alone. This game is not meant to be played driving your fucking car. This game is not meant to be played.
That's why you just hit the button that says, I'm just a passenger. Duh.
Right. Well, no, I'm just saying, though, this game was not meant for that. It's just ridiculous.
Yeah, I remember when this game first launched, we had several part-time kids that worked in the wash bay, and they were openly admitting to driving home and catching Pokemon at the same time.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's ridiculous. But this game was, what I'm saying, though, is like this game is supposed to, number one, get out and introduce you to people around you with like-minded ideas. And number two, for you to explore your environment. Jay, like you were saying, the Rose Gardens has 6 Pokestops. Or Pokestops, however you want to fucking pronounce it.
Mm-hmm.
But people are going to go there and go, okay, I'm spinning a Pokestops, so I'm catching Pokemon, but you're also walking around, you're looking at the roses, you're in exploring the environment.
And like you said, Rob, about the coffee shops.
They're getting
If a coffee shop has a Pokestop there, if you're out there walking, you're like, oh man, it's been a long day. I'm kind of enjoying this. You know what? I'm gonna grab a cup of coffee before heading off to the next Pokestop.
Mm-hmm. Right. Or
hey, I'm getting a little bit of hungry. Yeah.
Even then, the businesses around that Pokestop, because again, it's 150 feet. So it's a big thing. You're walking down the street and you go, ooh, Chinese, I could go for some Chinese food. And then you get lunch.
Yeah, right.
You know, it's like it's ridiculous that people just want to play from their cars. Not how this game's supposed to be. Quit fucking doing it.
Well, I moved on because retarded stuff like this is just really starting to aggravate me.
So do we want to go to Amazon next while we're talking about stupid shit?
Yeah, let's go to Amazon, and then we'll hit the story above it, and then we'll cover the last two Sony things.
Okie dokie, that sounds good to me. So, let me close that one out. Amazon's New World has been delayed for a fourth time, just a few weeks before its planned release.
Mm-hmm.
I.e., hey, we're bricking graphics cards that people can't get, so...
No. Amazon keeps coming out and saying, no, that's not what's happening. That's not what's happening.
Well, but their response was, Hey, we fixed the issue, but that wasn't an issue. That was just something that we decided to fix, and then it stopped happening. But that wasn't the issue.
Oh, my God.
So they come out with the typical bullshit of, we want the New World's launch to be a smooth and fun experience for all players. So we have to make some improvements based on what you encountered in the closed beta.
So we gotta improve our menu not to have unlimited frame rate to destroy your computer.
Oh, they did that day one. It was a day one patch for the beta. And then they go, this wasn't an easy decision to make. We know this isn't the first time, or the second, or the third even. We've changed our launch date in pursuit of quality. Is it quality, or is it you can't get your shit together?
I'm going to go with both.
I don't know. I mean, look at Crucible. How quickly did Crucible come and go?
It died pretty quick. It actually, I was going through my Steam list.
5 months. It lasted.
Yeah, I was going through my Steam list, and I went, I'm going to go ahead and just remove this from my library entirely. I don't need to have
it. It's not coming back.
Yeah.
Amazon, like I said, they denied claims that it's bricking the cards, but...
I mean, if it walks like a duck and it quacks like a duck...
Chances
are. Probably
are.
Jeff Bezos.
Logic dictates. Yeah. It's probably a fucking duck.
We're going to cut this. We're going to segment our stories, and then this one's going to have a thumbnail of a duck with Jeff Bezos' head on it.
Nice. Jay, you
actually, speaking speaking of baby head Bezos.
I feel attacked.
I'm right there with you, bud. I started shaving my head too.
I can't. Can't identify.
Watch the new Suicide Squad. That's all I'm gonna say.
Tell me he's in there. Tell
about baby head Bezos.
All right, so we're going to move on to a little bit of hopefully interesting stuff. Gamescom 2021 is coming up quickly. Wednesday, August 25th at 11 p.m. Oh, yes. 11 a.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Eastern, and 8 p.m. CET, which I think is like Central Egyptian time or something. I don't know.
It's your boy, Jeff Keighley.
Jeff Keighley is coming with a live 2-hour opening showcase. Last year was pretty good. This year I will be doing a live broadcast of this again.
Ooh.
So come join us again. That is Wednesday, August 25th, 2 p.m. Eastern.
So you mean come join you?
Well, yeah. Yeah. I mean, you guys can interact and chat.
Yeah, I got work though.
Yeah.
You can interact and chat though.
I get to see you in glorious like 180p because my fucking phone has sucky internet.
But yeah, I will be live probably about 10 to 15 minutes before the event starts, just so we can get people in chat and chat it up and tell us what you guys are expecting.
Get yourself all ramped up. Get your drinks and your snacks there.
Get your popcorn. Ready for
that 2-hour. With it being a 2-hour showcase. With that being said, while we're talking about it, let us know what you guys think in the comments below or on one of our many social platforms. Let us know what you guys think is going to happen, what we're going to get announced, you know, from Gamescom. With that being said, many major publishers have recently confirmed their participation, including Xbox, EA, Sega, and Activision, even though that one's questionable because they might just be sued to hell and back by then.
Yeah, they'll come out
when the presentation is, we're sorry. #MeToo.
So it says here in the article, the full list of confirmed and in quotations, top international companies.
Yeah.
They included 505 Games, Activision, which they're probably just going to get booed the whole time.
Yeah. What, you guys don't have rape cases of yourself?
Aerosoft, Assemble Entertainment, Astragon Entertainment, Bandai Namco, Bethesda, and you already said EA, Game Evil, Calm to Us Europe, which I've played a couple of their mobile games, Head Up Indie Arena Booth, Koch Media, Next Studios, which is Tencent Games. So be prepared for when Next Studio comes out that Rob's got a pretty juicy rant already lined up for Tencent. Sega Europe, Team 17, Thunderful Games, Ubi, Wargaming, and Xbox.
Yes.
Hey,
and I like that they put it all in alphabetical order.
Yeah, right. Ubisoft's going to come out with the thing too, going, yeah, we're sorry.
Yeah, right.
That's all their presentation is going to be. Is yeah. Like, we're sorry. Here's all the people that got fired.
Well, yeah, the proper way to go about it is I'm an ally. Don't hurt me.
Well, no, that's the biggest fucking issue I have is all this virtue signaling bullshit that they've done for wars. I'm not saying saying the N-word is all right. I don't like the word. That's just my personal preference. But yeah. Banning people for saying it seems a little excessive, especially after you go ahead and put Black Lives Matter on your loading screens.
Yeah.
I'm not going to go full into it here. That's the double-edged sword of freedom. Freedom.
I'm not
of speech.
Saying anything against the groups. I could. I'm not gonna. But the issue itself is they took a stance. And they put something on there that a lot of people have issues with, and it did not work out the way. I think more N-bombs were said because they put Black Lives Matter on there and virtue right. signaled.
Right.
And I mean, we've talked about this. Go back to the PS3 days of when the online gaming started for Call of Duty.
Well,
it's been what? Well over a decade.
I actually watched a video where this guy was doing a racist speed run.
Wait, what?
He was doing a racism speed run. So what he would do is he, as soon as the lobby would start and he, you know, it would join or he would join in, he would say Black Lives Matter, and instantly somebody would drop the N word and he would speed run it, see how fast and up his time. He's like, all right, so Black Lives Matter is three syllables. I'm going to go and switch it up to I'm black. I'm black. And then fucking people would say it on cue. This dude's just going ape shit. Like, yeah, new world record.
Oh my god.
0.5 seconds of saying I'm black, somebody dropped the N-word.
Right. Yeah, it's ridiculous. Ridiculous.
It's the internet. People have anonymity and they fucking love that shit. Like, that's the thing. I don't take anything on the internet seriously.
So talking about Gamescom again. Two companies that we've noticed that I've noticed that are absent from this, and one of them isn't a surprise.
PlayStation.
Sony.
Sony, yeah.
We have nothing from Sony on here.
They're just going to do their own live thing.
I was going to say, do we think we're going to get a state of play? And if you remember, my prediction was August 12th. Do you think we're going to get a state of play before this to show off stuff?
Maybe.
I'm going to say no.
I'm going to say, remember, we got a delay for Forbidden West, Horizon Zero Dawn.
That's right.
Yeah.
But the last state of play, I don't want to say it was bad, but it wasn't like blockbuster either.
No, and they said they were focusing mainly on indie titles.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Up next, I've noticed that Nintendo is absent. Do we think Nintendo is going to give us anything?
Nintendo don't care.
Nintendo don't care.
You
know, because they do their.
I mean, direct, listen,
Nintendo Direct.
After E3 and how half of Nintendo's showcase was stuff that other companies already showed off, I don't think they have a whole lot going on. They had the Skyward Sword HD remaster last month, because yeah, we're in August now.
Yeah,
they're gonna ride that for a little bit.
They got a few games coming out the holiday season. I just
there's been a lot of talk about Breath of the Wild 2.
Yeah, there's always been a lot of talk about that, though.
So, I'm just saying, like, do we think that maybe we'll get something about that in a Nintendo Direct here soon?
Well, there's no coincidence that they decided they were going to re-release Skyward Sword, and now that the Breath of the Wild shit is going to be spoilers in the air, where the ancient civilizations used to be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm eager to see if that's where they're going with Breath of the Wild 2.
Right.
I'm more than certain it's Ganondorf that's under that, because remember that first trailer they go and they see the weird body? That's Ganondorf. That has to be, because we got Ganon, but no Ganondorf has red hair, the same type of evil magic.
What if this is the convergence of the three timelines?
I don't know about that, because there had to have been some sort of event to cause it.
Here's the thing. They're saying that's what Breath of the Wild was. It was the convergence of the three timelines.
Not really. I mean, it was, but it wasn't.
Because here's... I've watched the videos on it.
I get what you're saying. This was like... this was after the other events of the other three timelines, to where they can all be intermerged.
Well, this definitely has to be after Wind Waker.
Right.
Like the Great Sea started to rescind and Hyrule came back or something like that, because the Rito exist, the Zoras exist.
Right.
Which is weird, because the Zoras didn't exist in a world filled with water.
Yeah, and that's what I was going to say. They're saying, because according to Nintendo, and I can't remember his name, the creator of Zelda and all that.
Shigeru Miyamoto.
Yeah. The Rito are evolved... descendants of the Zora.
Yeah,
right.
So the fact that they both exist in Breath of the Wild,
and then the Kokiri versus the Koroks,
right?
Yeah,
Koroks exist, but the Kokiri don't.
Yeah,
yeah.
And the Kokiri were Ocarina of Time, which is where the timeline diverges.
Yeah. Well, and that's what I mean, though. Like, could we have a time travel kind of event?
They find the Twilight Mirror and shit, right, and go to the Twilight Realm, and they just merge all the Zeldas together into this next one.
Yeah.
You know something that I thought would be awesome? And hear me out.
No.
You can play as both Link and Zelda. You can switch back and forth.
Well, that's what they... Well, I don't know if that's what they're going to do, but Link doesn't have the Sheikah Slate anymore. He's got, like, a glove or something where he's got the powers now.
Right.
Huh.
But if they did that, I think it would be also awesome that you could add in a multiplayer feature then.
You definitely could.
Two-player co-op.
Because you could have, you know, where you could switch back and forth between Link and Zelda. So, you know, whoever you're playing as, they follow the other person to an extent. And then when you go into like a dungeon, one of the puzzles, you can jump back and forth. You know, you could be somewhere and then the other person has to go and do something different to open up another section on the map. And that can be achieved, like I said, by switching between the two characters or by having two-player co-op.
I mean, that's pretty cool, but I don't know how they would do it, personally.
I think it's easily doable. Yeah. I really do. Because, like, main story stuff, you could just have it to where you're playing as one or the other. But then when you go into a dungeon, it brings them both in. Or if you're in co-op mode, you're just out in a big, vast, open world as two people. Mm.
I mean, they kind of already have that with Age of Calamity.
Right.
So, and yeah, what, it could just be an improved technology of that.
And that's what made me think of it. So, yeah, that'll be interesting. But back to the Sony thing.
Right.
So, first, Sony has come out and said that they are going to focus on PlayStation.
They want to focus on console quality AAA.
Yeah.
For their new VR2, which they said they weren't worried about and they weren't going to start on it for a while.
Well,
but
basically what they are saying, because we've had the PS VR2 specs revealed, kind of, they were leaked. They weren't necessarily revealed. But we know that there's going to be a 4,000 by 2080 pixel, which is 2,000 by 2040 per eye. And it also claims to use a headset with a Fresnel OLED display and has a field of view of 110 degrees.
Mm.
Which is actually 20 more degrees than the Quest 2 and 10 more degrees than the original VR. The hardware is capable of flexible scaling resolution, which, when you combine the two technologies, it's reducing the strain on the PS5 resources. The PSVR 2 controllers are reportedly going to include captivative touch sensors for thumb and index and middle fingers, and the controllers are said to be able to track how far from the sensor a player's fingers are.
See, I just want the gloves. I just like, cause like, especially games that have hands, like Skyrim and shit. Like, just give me gloves so I can pretend I have something, or like get a foam sword and use that as my
broken TV.
Yeah.
I
said foam.
Well, I agree with that. I mean, I think that would be cool. I think that would be hard to do because I don't know how
articulation and shit. Yeah.
Yeah.
I want a trackpad though. I want to be able to walk.
Right. And there are companies, third-party companies, that make stuff like that.
Yeah, for $3,000.
So it looks like we're moving closer to some Ready Player One stuff.
Well, that really boosted people's want for.
Give
this
me
VR
full
shit.
Dive. Give me full dive technology.
Oh fuck no! Not with these companies. Literally, the game will glitch out. The game will literally glitch out, and you won't be able to log out. It's not going to kill you, but due to pandemic restrictions, you're going to have to wait 6 months for the patch to let you log out.
All right.
I'm just being dumb at this point.
That's okay. We love it.
But it'll be cool to see, like, basically from the vibe that I'm getting from this is that they're going to take games that they already have out on console and have them be able to do VR, you know, like they did with No Man's Sky and Hitman 3 and stuff like that. So sort of like remastering original games to make them
work on
VR
it, yeah.
Compatible.
I'm just excited to see the controllers. I'll be honest. Like the VR, you can only do so much. You can make the graphics look as pretty as fucking possible. That's not really the issue. Well, except the wires. No wires on this one. But no. I want to see how the thing works, because I hated the PlayStation Move controller. I thought that was the dumbest idea that they did.
Give me haptic feedback on these.
Oh,
give me,
no doubt.
Give me adaptive trigger buttons.
Well, they did confirm the adaptive triggers.
Well,
it said at the end of this article, it says, in addition to the previously confirmed adaptive triggers, PSVR 2 controllers will also reportedly include capacitive touch sensors for the thumb, index, and middle fingers, and controllers are said to be able to track how far from the sensors a player's fingers are.
Right. Okay. Because it, I think it would be cool as shit, you know, that, you know, you in an archery game, you pull the bow back, and then your trigger button, you can feel it, the tension.
Feel the actual snaps. Trigger, yeah. Because, like, a lot of people, you have the draw thing where you actually, it's literally a trigger pull.
Yeah, it is.
So, yeah, that'd be fun.
Yeah, I think it would be awesome.
Mm-hmm.
And the last thing that we're going to talk about with talking about PS5, Sony says it's secured enough components to hit the 22 million PS5 sales goal. Another thing that I want to talk about while we are touching on this that was just released either last night or this morning was that PS5 is no longer digital. PS5 digital is no longer selling for a loss.
That didn't take long.
Yeah, I think that came out last night, either last night or this morning. That the $400 digital edition of the PS5 is no longer being sold for a loss. Where was it? The disc base. Oh, the standard edition. It's the standard edition, not the digital. I'm sorry.
I was about to say the digital was probably cheaper to make.
The PS5 standard disc base edition is now officially a profitable console. Sony CFO Hiroki Totoki confirmed the news, but did note that the 400 digital edition of the PS5 is still being sold for a loss than what it costs Sony to manufacture, but that the losses from the console are still being offset by margin-rich products like PlayStation peripherals and the PS4.
Mm-hmm. Well, and they're about to redo a revised edition.
We'll see. We'll see how long it takes for that to come out.
Well, that's why they're claiming that they're going to be able to pull out more is because they're doing this. They claim it's, last month it appeared that Sony indeed planned to roll out revised PS5 hardware after a new version of the digital edition was detailed in the official Japanese product manual. Shows that the updated model, and it shows a different name, I think, CFI-1100B, and a 300 gram less weight than the launch version. So they've taken out some of the fluff, which obviously saves you a little bit of money on the profit margin.
That's nothing new for Sony. They do that with every console iteration.
Yeah, right.
Well, that's why they redo the console generations and do the revisions.
Is well, and those are normally, versions, you know,
that are cheaper to make.
You know, we call those the mid-console refresh.
Yeah, they did it with the PS3.
They did it with the PS4.
Yes, too. That's what it started, was it? PS2.
Yeah, because you had the well, it started with the PS1.
Oh yeah, because they had the
technically
PS1
the PS1.
PSX.
Yeah.
Because
you had the PlayStation, then you had the PlayStation 1.
Well, you had the PlayStation, which was the square box, and then you had the PS1X, which was the smaller one tried to market with the computer,
the TV,
the monitor. Yeah.
Yeah, that was called a PS1. A player. Oh. It was called a PS1.
Wasn't it PS and then spelled out one?
Yeah. Yes.
Okay. Yeah.
Because the original PlayStation was just the big gray box, which is iconic. And then it was the PS1, which was the tiny, and it was white. that's the original PlayStation there.
It's the original PlayStation, yeah.
And then the PS1 was more white and smaller.
Yeah, and rounded.
Yeah. And then you had the fat PS2 that came out.
And then you had the PS2 Slim.
And then the Slim came out, which was just a flip top. Because the original one had the button that the disc tray would come out.
Yeah, and that's how they cut corners on that. They didn't have to put a mechanized disc tray on there. They could just do the old, pop open top like they did with the original PlayStation.
Right.
And then PS3 came
out. And we got cool colors with that whenever we went to
the
Slim.
Big boy, the Slim, and then the slide top one.
Yeah, the Super Slim. They called it
the PS3.
They called it the Super Slim.
Yeah.
And then PS4 has the Pro and the Slim.
Well, there's the original PS4.
Yeah.
And then there's the Slim, and then there's the Pro.
Yeah. So there's three versions on that.
So, I wouldn't be surprised, you know, that they're going to push out a Slim, which, again, I mean, I think that that'll stay to the digital edition.
So instead of looking like Kaiba, is this going to look like Mokuba?
I don't know. That'll be interesting to see.
All I know is I can't wait to see this PS5 Pro that they said they have leaked What's the word I'm looking for? Patents.
Oh, yeah. Finally play Cyberpunk.
maybe.
Dude, they oh my god, they need to get that game fixed.
I could buy it on fucking buy a Steam key for it right now for like $17.
Look, I shouldn't have to drive in somewhere and wait 30 seconds for the rest of the town to render in just to find out that I'm stuck.
See, that you're stuck in a building. Shut up, Stadia user.
It's not the PlayStation, though.
No, it's not.
It's the game.
Yeah. That's what we should have tested, Brent. That's what we should have tested for our.
I can do that tonight.
It's just like, you kidding? See. I'm working on it right now. Drafting a video in my head.
But while we're talking about the update, apparently another thing that they're doing is they're going to be changing the set screw for the base. Apparently some people were complaining that they were stripping out the set screw to attach the base to either the bottom of it vertically or the bottom of it horizontally.
That sounds like user error.
It does.
So, well, no, I mean, I kind of get it, because here's the thing. The screw that they included to put on the stand to use it standing up, the screw has such a wide head on it that you would need a screwdriver that is borderline a pry bar.
A chisel bit.
Yes. You literally need a head that wide. But also, like you said, user error. That screw doesn't have to be cranked down.
Yeah.
If you crank that screw down, you are a moron.
Well,
yeah, you do not have to tighten it that much.
And that's the thing.
It's there to hold on. It's not there to be tight.
And that's the thing. Like, it's not even there to, like, it's not even there to physically attach the base to it, because there's hooks on the back of it that hook onto part of the console.
Well, actually, for standing it up, the hooks that are on the back, they're just a stopper on the back.
Oh, I thought pins.
No, so the console doesn't keep sliding back.
Okay. It hits a certain point and it's...
Yeah, the PlayStation hits those hooks and it stops it from sliding back.
Well, in the base, though, there's grooves and stuff that the PlayStation sits in.
When you're laying it horizontally.
I thought whenever you had it vertical, too, it was there the grooves in it, in the base, because the flaps sit in it. I noticed that whenever we were doing our test. The plates sit in the base.
You can literally set the PlayStation down and slide it both ways.
Yeah, but you can't spin it, is what I'm saying, because it's like locked in.
Yeah.
So basically what I was getting at was that the screw just is
keeps
there
it from spinning.
Stability.
Yeah.
But
there's no reason to crank that screw down.
Yeah.
No, you don't crank that screw like you crank that Soldier Boy.
Oh.
You don't need to Hulk it. You don't need to Hulk it like that one guy did. Rob was telling me about trying to get the cover off of it.
That was funny.
Oh, where he like scratched up the whole side of it.
No. He grabbed it like a telephone book and just pried it like that to pop off the plates. Yeah. And all
he's
you got to
go hit up PlayStation.
And all you have to do, like we show in our video, which you can go watch, I'll put a link here. I'll put a link somewhere in one of these corners. Something. It'll be on screen. Don't worry. But yeah, in our video, you could see that all you got to do is just pull up on one corner just a little bit and slide it off. That's all you got to do. Just pull a little bit and slide.
Pull and slide.
And Brendan's beautifully gloved hands show you exactly how to do that.
White gloves, of course.
Well, yes, they are.
Well, yeah, because like my hands are so badly stained right now for my day job.
You tell me. I'll take like 3 showers a day before that shit comes off.
And one of the things that the reported thing for the redesign is that they are going to be using 6nm chips from AMD. And
that's the part that I'm waiting to see.
The redesign is supposed to start production in early to mid 2022. So we'll see how quickly they come out. I'm saying holiday 2022 is whenever we're going to start seeing.
Yeah.
The redesign.
Oh yeah. Definitely.
Which will give it a year and a half on the original design. And if we know anything about PlayStation and their console life, it's normally 7 to 10 years that they have a console live for.
So this won't be a mid-gen refresh, but like they're already breaking sales records from previous generations.
Well, thanks, scalpers. If you look at the PS4, they really didn't do a mid-gen refresh either, because the Slim came out like two and a half years after it launched, and then the Pro was the mid-gen refresh, really.
Yeah.
And the 4 doesn't even seem like it's slowing down.
No, not at all.
So, I don't know. We'll wait to see how long these PS4s are actually lasting.
Well, I mean, my launch edition, the disk drive is kind of wonky at times. But other than that, it's fine.
Mine's just collecting dust.
They're good at that. They're good dust collectors.
Oh, yeah. Because they designed them to fucking have weird-ass vents.
Yeah. Mm. But yeah, with that, I think that's about it. You guys got anything else you want to touch on?
Nah, I think I'm good.
No, we're good.
We pissed off Pokemon fans and everybody.
Oh, good. Good. You know what? Rob has my name on all of our social media tabs. So you know what? If they got a problem with the things I said, you're more than welcome to come over to my profile and have an argument with me.
He likes it. he's driven by arguments.
Masochist.
I am. Go look at my Facebook profile.
We literally spend like 30 minutes pre-show just yelling at each other.
If he's not banned at that point, you know, in Facebook jail or something.
He's got one more strike left.
Yeah. And then you'll have to come join on our Discord. And if you want to do any of that, you can check out our social links down below or in the description if you're on audio format. And you could join in the conversation and the rants and the arguments. And, you know, if you've watched the last show, then you know that we can sometimes get heated even with each other, but it's all in the sake of putting our opinions out there. And we respect the opinions at the end of the day.
Yeah.
Exactly.
I mean, we still talk to each other outside of doing the show and stuff, so it's not like we hold ill will towards each other just because we don't agree on something.
And that's the beauty of it.
So you're going to get a package of a bag of dicks. That was all for fun, bro.
Right? Yeah.
Oh, there's a company that makes big chocolate dicks. You can get them in different colors and shapes and shit.
Do you want vanilla or chocolate? Do you want this caramel one?
Do you want it filled with yogurt?
And it has a picture of the man it's modeled from.
That is awesome.
Here's Vlad the Impaler. There's a reason he's called the Impaler.
Oh man.
But yeah,
Tony Gut Snapper Robinson.
Chester the Molester Cock and Stuff. Oh, that's a great porn name. Wait, we get to have porn names? But yeah, definitely check out our socials. Hit the like, subscribe, and share button if you haven't already to join us for more fuckery, because that's what this show basically is just fuckery.
Mm-hmm. Fun fuckery.
Pretty much.
And yeah, get yourself some merch, because links to that will be in the description as well. But as always, we'll catch you guys at the warp point.
Peace.